life is a test, isn't it not? Man, we go through all kinds of stuff, and the Scripture tells us, you know, that life is a test. And I don't know if you recall the story of Job. Job went through a lot of stuff, didn't he? And I think it's just, why did God allow that to happen to Job? And you know, you think that story in there is just kind of like, wow, man, how can that happen to one person? But you know, I know some people that have gone through a lot in their life, and you think, wow, how can that happen to one person? And what an example that Job, you know, he's a man that had a lot of possessions, and he was wealthy. He had everything. He had a beautiful family and lots of cattle and lots of land, and then he loses it all. He lost it all. His health was gone. His children had passed away. I mean, it was just one thing after another that plagued him. And his wife, I mean, even his wife told him, he said, why don't you just curse God and die? That's a pretty bold statement, isn't it? But Job didn't give up, did he? He didn't give up on God. He stuck out through all that. And he says this here in Job 23, chapter 23, verse 8 through 10. He says, if I go east, he's not there. And if I go west, I cannot perceive him. When he's at work to the north, I cannot see him. When he turns south, I cannot find him. Yet he knows the way I have taken. When he has tested me, I will emerge as pure gold. You know, there's been times in my life, and I know many of you can say the same thing, that I haven't felt God. I search for him. I'm like, God, where are you at in all this that I'm going through? I don't understand why you're not here. Why can't I feel? Why aren't you answering me? I think all of us, a lot of us have been through that. And we wonder why. And I think Job was right there with that. He said, no matter where I look, no matter where I go, I don't even know where he's at. But he says, I know he's there. I know he's real. I know that through all this, if I keep my faith, through all this test I'm going through, it'll be okay. It's going to be okay. One of the metaphors the Bible says about life is a test. And God continues, He continually tests people. He tests us of our character. He tests us of our faith, our obedience, our love, our integrity, and our loyalty. And character is both developed and revealed by testing. And the truth of the matter is all of life is a test. It really is. And you're always being tested, and God's constantly watching. But also, so is everybody else around you. You know, Job's wife just wanted to curse God and let him die, but Job says, nope. Nope. I know God's got something bigger in the end for me through all this. I think trials can be hard. I mean, and Jesus said, surely trials will come. You're going to go through stuff in your life. And they can be a test of our patience. And trials and tribulations, I tell you what, they're hard, and they do. They test your patience, and the Lord has a timing for fulfilling His plans and purposes, and often His plans takes much longer than we expect. You know, we want things to happen today. We want things to happen at least by tomorrow. God, take care of this. But it doesn't always happen that way, does it? Often God's plans take much longer. And it seems like sometimes our tribulations last forever. And the seasons are tests. It tests our patience. And as we're willing to wait for God's timing, are we, though? Are we willing to wait? Let's listen to what the Scripture says in James chapter 1, verse 2 and 4. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." But I have to tell you the truth here, that I don't really enjoy reading that verse. I really don't. Because it's hard to find joy in the middle of a trial or a test, or when you're dealing with something in your life, it's hard to have joy in that, isn't it? The loss of a loved one, sicknesses that fall upon us. Sometimes we go through a thing that seems like it never ends. Sometimes for the most part, I consider hardships a horrible thing. You know, really. But the Bible tells me that hardships and trials have a purpose, and they produce patience, and I sure could use more of that patience right now, for sure. I don't really like the process of obtaining patience. Do you? But I also know that God is the author and finisher of everything.
Amen.
And I know that He has a purpose. And even though I don't understand, His purpose will be revealed in the end. And I'll be like, oh, wow. And I'll emerge as pure gold, like Job said. If he considers that I need more patience, I guess so be it. I know that many of our lives are a test of patience, because I know that many of you have gone through a lot of stuff in your life, and you're still here. You still believe in God, right? You haven't given up the faith. Praise God for that, because you're a great witness and a great testimony to the rest of us sitting here too. I know a lot of us have been through some pretty rough times, and I praise God that He's been right there by my side and right there by your side the whole time. Amen?
Amen.
I remember this here when we think about the patience of Job. He never turned his back on God. He never turned his back on God. He questioned God. He complained to God, but he never turned his back on God. And that's why we're all encouraged to remember the patience of Job. Just remember that. And his whole life was a test of patience. And for many of us, we're being tested in this way too. Also, it's a test of our faith. Trials can be a test of our faith. And do we believe in God even in the midst of pain and suffering? Do we believe in the promises of God even when everything looks impossible? And do we trust in God even if He doesn't deliver us? Do we trust in God even when we don't understand His ways working in our lives? I remember the story of in the book of Daniel of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. You remember that story? We've heard that many times, haven't we? Their faith was tested. And you remember the story that King Nebuchadnezzar had made this image out of gold. And it wasn't just a little image. This thing was like 19 foot tall and 9 foot thick. I mean, you think about that. It's almost as high as the ceiling in this church. And almost as wide as from pillar to pillar. That's big, isn't it? And then he said that everyone had to bow down and worship this statue. And yet Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said, no, we're not going to do that. They were called before the king, and he asked them, he said, was it true that you refused to worship me or to bow down to the statue? And they said, yeah. And he warned them that if they did not worship the image, that they would be thrown into the fiery furnace. And when we read Nebuchadnezzar, we don't need to give you an answer to this question, what they said. If the God we serve exists, then he can rescue us from the furnace of blazing fire. And he can rescue us from the power of you, the king. But even if he does not rescue us, we want you as king to know that we will not serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. That's a pretty bold answer, isn't it? It's not that we can't do it. It's that we won't do it. Man, this world that we live in today, many of us are going to have to make that stand today. The way this country's going, the way the things are going in this world, there's going to be a time when we're going to have to say, you know what? I don't believe that way. I don't think that way. Amen. And I'm not going to bow down to what you tell me to bow down to. Because I serve a bigger God. I believe in God, right? I believe in the saving power and the resurrection power of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And I don't care what this world says. They can say that I can't say that or can't believe that way. They're wrong.
Yeah.
I'll never deny my Christ. Ever.
Amen.
We know that the king got, he became really furious, and he had the furnace heated up 7 times hotter than normal. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were bound hand and foot and thrown into the furnace. Some guys died doing it. And then Nebuchadnezzar, he looks in there. He looks in the furnace. And he says, I see somebody else in there. There's not just 3 in there. There's 4 in there.
Amen.
And he says something really amazing. He says, the 4th man looks like the Son of God.
Amen.
Amazing, isn't it? He called for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to come out of the furnace. And they didn't have one hair on their head singed. They didn't have any of their clothes burnt. And they didn't even smell like smoke. Now that'd be something to see, wouldn't it? Be something to witness. Their faith was tested and they proved to be faithful. And they didn't care whether, he said, I don't care if we die today. They were faithful to the end. You know, it can be a test of love too. Trials can be, it can test our love for one another. They can reveal whom and what we love the most in our lives. And they reveal our priorities and our desires too. The Lord wants us to love Him more than anybody else or anything. In the depth of our love, God is revealed during the seasons and trials. And Peter's an example of that. It says this in John 21:15-17. It said, when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus asked Simon Peter, he said, Simon, he said, do you love me more than these? You love me more than my friends? You love me more than these guys around you? He said, yes, Lord, I love you. He said, well, feed my sheep. And then he asked him again, he said, Simon, Peter, he said, do you love me? He said, yes, I love you. You know that I love you. He said, well, shepherd my sheep. He asked him a third time and he said, Simon, Peter, do you love me? Peter was kind of grieved over this and he's like, Man, he said, you know everything about me, basically, is what he says. You know me. You know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my sheep. You know the motive. What's the motives in your life? Do you do things out of obligation, or do you do things out of love for Jesus? Do you come to church out of obligation, or do you come to church because you love God and you want to give Him the glory and the praise, and you want to tell everybody else in the community that you love God, and that's why we come to church? I like you guys. I really do.
Thank you.
Yeah. I mean, I like being around you. But I don't just come here for you. Right? I don't preach the word just for you. I come and I preach and I do the things that I do because I love God. And through that, I gain some wonderful relationships with you guys. I hope you feel the same way. I hope that's why you're here today, is because you're seeking to be closer to Christ. One thing I know is, you know, Lee and I raised livestock for years. We had goats, and I know that there's two things I learned about sheep and goats. Goats are stupid, and sheep are dumb. I learned those things. Sheep are sheep. They act like sheep. Peter was taught this great lesson that day. He was to serve others, not just because they deserved it, but because he loved Jesus. You know? Or sometimes we do things not just because we like somebody. We may not even like them, but we do it because we love Jesus. Sheep don't always do what you expect or want them to do. And Jesus, he didn't tell Peter to love the sheep because they are lovable, even though that they may be sometimes. But Jesus told Peter to take care of the sheep because of the love that Peter had for Jesus. Let me tell you, dealing with each other sometimes is messy. You know? Sometimes it's hard. Sometimes we go through things. Sometimes we don't agree. Sometimes, you know, we disagree. Sometimes we're just dysfunctional. But Jesus, if we love Him, then we can love one another and we can deal with all that stuff, right?
Amen.
Are you motivated by love, or are you motivated by the love you have for Jesus? That's what I'm trying to say this morning. It's a test of endurance. Trials are. How much are you willing to endure for the Lord? Will you give up easily? Or will you endure it till the end? The life of Paul is an example of that endurance, isn't it? Five times, he says this in the Scripture. Man, I'll tell you what, he went through some stuff. He said, five times I received 39 lashes from Jews. Three times I was beaten with rods by the Romans. Once I was stoned by my enemies. I don't think your friends would do that, but sometimes they do. Three times I was shipwrecked. I have spent a night and a day in the open sea. On frequent journeys, I faced dangers from rivers, dangers from robbers, dangers from my own people, dangers from the Gentiles, dangers in the city, dangers in the open country, dangers on the sea, dangers among false brothers, labor, hardship, many sleepless nights, hunger and thirst, and often without food, cold, and lacking clothing. Paul endured many hardships, didn't he? But he didn't give up. He stuck it out with Jesus. Jesus said this in Luke 9:62. He said, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God." Man, that's a bold statement, isn't it? No one. 1 Corinthians 9:24 says, "Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? So run in such a way that you may obtain it." Run to win. Amen?
Amen.
Run to win. It's a test of our humility too. Trials can really test that. And the Lord humbles us by allowing us to go through seasons and trials. And the Lord wants us to have the mind of Christ, who humbled Himself to take the form of a servant and become obedient even to His death on the cross. And, you know, I think of Moses, and he went through times and trials of humility. In the Bible, we find this, that he married Miriam and Aaron, though. He criticized Moses because of the Cushite woman that he had married. And in Numbers 12:1-3, he said, "Does the Lord only speak through Moses? Does He not also speak through us?" And the Lord heard it. And Moses was a very humble man, more so than any man on the face of the earth. Moses was criticized, even by his own family members, and yet the Bible tells us that Moses was a very humble man. And I think it's interesting to me that criticism and humility are mentioned together. And when you're criticized, how do you respond? Do you respond with anger or humility? Humility is not thinking less of yourself. It's thinking of yourself less. When you are criticized, how do you react to that? I know how I want to sometimes. Somebody criticizes you, you want to just like, those are like almost fighting words sometimes, isn't it? Criticism needs to bring with it a time of reflection. I get aggravated. I mean, I do. Sometimes somebody says something about me or people say stuff about me. You believe that? Yeah. I mean, you know, there's people probably talk bad about me sometime. I'm the only one though, right?
Amen.
I get criticized. I don't wear a suit to preach in. You guys got real quiet, didn't you? You know, I've been criticized about a lot of things. Okay? Sometimes people test my faith. Sometimes people test my character. Sometimes people test a lot of things. I'm like, hey, that's enough. I've had enough. Lord, I've had enough. And then I have to think it out. Sometimes I talk to somebody and blow off some steam. And then I'm like, okay, God, what's in it for me? What do you want to teach me through this? What do I need to learn? What do I need to learn? And then I think, okay. Criticism's not all bad, though. Sometimes we can learn a lot from criticism. Sometimes it's good. Sometimes it's not. Most of the time it's not. Let me move on. I think trials can be a test of our sacrifice. Are we willing to sacrifice everything for the Lord? That's a big one. He said, take up your cross and follow me. That's a big sacrifice, isn't it? Take up your cross and follow me. How many of us are willing to really, you think that through? Are you willing to give up everything for Jesus Christ today?
Amen.
I mean, that's everything. Jesus said, if you give up your mom, your dad, your family, your brothers, your sisters, your kids, that's a big one, isn't it? I can't imagine doing that. You know, but he also talks about, the Bible talks about in the end times that parents will turn their kids in. Kids will turn their parents in for following Christ. That's hard to believe, isn't it? That's hard to believe. It's hard to comprehend that, but, you know, sometimes we got to give up stuff if we're going to follow Christ. There's times we got to give up those bad habits in our life because we would rather follow Christ than to deal with those bad habits and hang on to them. Because a lot of times those bad habits lead us away from God instead of closer to God. And that's why Christ, He'll lead you right to a point of total surrender. That's what He wants from all of us. All the trials and all the stuff we go through is a path towards Christ, and it's a path towards total surrender. He tests us to the level of our willingness to sacrifice for Him. I read so much about how the disciples and how the, you know, they were crucified and they were slaughtered and all that, you know, and that's kind of morbid to think about. But they all did it with praises and they were just glorifying God through it all. Just like when Stephen was stoned. He tested Abraham this way. You know, you remember the story? And Isaac spoke to his father, Abraham, and said, "My father?" And he replied, "Here I am, my son." Isaac said, "The fire and the wood are here, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God Himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son." Then the two of them walked on together. Genesis 22:7-8. Abraham, he was asked by God to sacrifice his own son. Abraham went to the mountain and he was there willing to offer up Isaac. That's hard to comprehend, isn't it? But that's total surrender. He believed and he trusted God. But that day, as Abraham was about to kill Isaac, God intervened and provided another sacrifice. And I believe this is the greatest picture of the Christian life. For you see, the Christian life is about putting God in charge of our life. Psalms 20, verse 7 says, "Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God." We are to trust in Him. And I would ask you this morning, are you trusting in your own ability or are you trusting in Christ to lead you in your life?
Amen.
A lot of times we try to do it all on our own. And He's saying, just trust me. Let's get this right the first time. And I think that's one of the harder things that we have to do is just total trust in God. Allowing God to be in charge of what we're trying to do and what direction we want to go in our life. Are you willing, though, this morning to put God in charge of your life totally? Because that's the trial of obedience to God. The test. Are you willing to obey God even when He commands us to do what we don't like to do? Or something that we wish to avoid. I know people that avoided ministry for years and years because they just was scared to death to do what God was asking them to do. The Lord teaches us obedience by leading us through trials and stuff. And Jesus is is really the prime example of obedience. The Bible tells us that going a little farther, he fell down and prayed. This is Jesus. He said, "My Father, if it possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." You all know where the verse comes from. Within a few short minutes after Jesus uttered these words, he would be arrested. And within a matter of hours, he would be crucified. And he said that, "Father, let this cup pass from me. Yet not my will, but your will be done." The Father's will was accomplished. And no matter what it takes, there are times in our life where the road is not smooth, but it's really rocky. And it's steep and it's hard to navigate. It can lead through the valley of the shadow of death. But it always leads to green pastures. Amen. Jesus humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even to death on the cross, Philippians 2:8. And I'm really thankful this morning, aren't you, that Jesus passed that test. His obedience now gives us hope. He took my sins to the cross and he died in my place, and because of his death, I have life today. Amen?
Amen.
What about you this morning? What about you this morning? You have life, and life more abundantly. You have life because of what Jesus did. And all you have to do is ask him and trust him and just believe in him. I know many of you made that decision years ago. Maybe some of you here this morning just really haven't. Maybe you kind of understand it, but yet you really don't. And that's okay. All you have to do is just trust him and say, "Lord, I believe you. And whatever happens from here, I'm just going to follow you." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you today, Lord. I pray the words that were spoken this morning, Lord, were your words. Lord, I pray that it doesn't fall on deaf ear. Lord, I pray that your Holy Spirit abounds here today in the hearts of everyone that's here. Lord, many of us have been through some pretty rough times, but we're still here. We're still trusting you, Lord. We still believe in you. And through all this, Lord, we know that there's a purpose. Through all this, Lord, we know there's a reason. And one of these days, when it's face to face with you, we'll understand it all. But for now, Lord, we just keep walking forward. We keep our hands on the plow and keep plowing forward in life. Not looking back, but moving forward. We run the race to win. No matter how many times we get knocked down in this life, Lord, we're just going to get up and keep running. So Lord, I thank you again for your word. I thank you for this great group of people that came. And so, Lord, I just pray that you go with them wherever they go and guide and direct them in their lives. In Jesus' name I pray.
Amen. Amen.